The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Liberty has to settle in your soul. It's got to start someplace, huh? Anyway, this is Terry Raposa, broadcasting live from KCNR, downtown Reading. I'm here with my co-host, Janet Chandler. How are you doing, darling?
I am doing so well, but I just don't feel like Wynn. I don't look like Wynn. I don't talk like Wynn. This morning, we are surrounded by a choir of sopranos and altos with just one baritone stuck in the corner there.
We are. That's it. Well, actually, we have Travis. How you doing, brother?
In the bass in the studio.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. All we are, we're here to please, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Well, we're broadcasting live from KCNR, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. If you have a question or a comment, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And Janet, I'm going to turn it over to you. You can introduce our guests.
As you all know, we are in a fight for liberty. We have recently had it reinforced for us that this fight is never done. We never win the war. We win battles. We can't win the war because it is never ending. Liberty is never secure. As long as there is evil in the world, liberty has to be maintained and fought for. We have three women here today who are fighting for liberty. They have children. They are fighting for their children, but they understand that they are not fighting for liberty so their children won't have to. They are fighting for liberty to show their children how. We have Kathy Steinbrook, Alyssa McEwen, and Melissa Magana. They represent four different aspects of this fight for liberty. And we are turning it over to them right now to tell us what those aspects are. Personally, I would like to know how they all got together in the first place, why this was important to them, what was the onset of their organization, where it stands, where it's going. So, women of the world, fight for our children, our grandchildren, and tell us what you're doing.
Morning, Janet. Thanks for having us this morning. Yeah. So this all started at the end of, 2019, when we were paying attention to what was happening, across the pond and down in China. And we were watching this virus that we didn't understand. And so we were just paying attention to that and thinking, gosh, what happens when it comes here? So we took a lot of proactive steps to keep our families safe. Paid attention to the news, paid attention to the science. But then as February and March rolled around, we realized that it wasn't just about the virus, but that there was a overreach of the government that was happening. And so with that in mind, I know I began to research who has the power to help secure my rights, my family, my way of life. And I discovered that here in Shasta County, that's our County Board of Supervisors and our sheriff. And so I started looking into those, trying to find out what role they play. And we went, then the Cottonwood Rodeo happened. And I sent a letter, just a quick little email to Sheriff Magrini saying, thank you for doing what you did with the Cottonwood Rodeo. And then we had a little rally over at his office. Then we had a little bit bigger rally over off of Hilltop that had hundreds of people come. And then the next week was May 19th, our County Board of Supervisors meeting that they had closed the boardrooms. And we all showed up there to give a very short, less than 3-minute speech. And that's how we met, and that's how we got together, and everything has taken off from there.
Yeah, I kind of...
This is Kathy Steinbrook.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I kind of entered the fight a little bit later. I was watching on Facebook all of this unfold, and I also was questioning, why are doctors that are reputable doctors by the thousands being censored for recommending vitamin D and zinc? And it just didn't make any sense to me. Didn't make any sense why our children's, you know, playground toys were tied up with caution tape when this virus supposedly died at 78 degrees. Mm-hmm. And it was 92 in Reading. And so, anyhow, it just made me wonder. So I came in a little bit later and sat through some, you know, of the board meetings and was appalled at the ignorance of our leadership. It was very frustrating that it didn't have answers. They didn't know pertinent information. And these people make $300,000+ a year on us. And then... also, I noticed that not only the rodeo, but also, there was some sort of moratorium on fishing that happened early on.
And really made the sheriff mad.
Well, and I appreciated him standing up and saying, no, I am not going to, you know, restrict fishing in this area. Good grief. And then also Sean Foyt had a worship rally at the Sundial Bridge, and no cases came from that. And I saw everybody losing their mind over just the fear-mongering that came from the leadership. And so that was what kind of lit my fire. And so anyhow, I've kind of ridden the wave of Miss McEwen here.
Well, and just to step back one second, you had said that the supervisors make around $300,000, and they don't. They make closer to $60,000 a year.
Oh, I was talking about Karen Ramstrom.
Yes. So Dr. Karen Ramstrom, our director of public health, does make closer to $300,000. I believe it's like $284,000.
Oh, okay.
And I agree with you completely that they weren't even holding her accountable, and that has been really destructive to our community, that questions have been asked that she cannot or will not answer. And the supervisors should hold her accountable for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the supervisors can hold her accountable. A lot of people don't understand that the supervisors appoint all these people that are in public health, et cetera, and their staff. And I think a lot of the blame that's been thrown on her, I'm not saying she doesn't deserve the blame. I'm just saying that if you don't want her as your Health and Human Services Director, then it's up to the Board of Supervisors. She serves at their pleasure.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
When you were looking into all of this, what were your goals in the beginning? What did you expect to happen? What did you want the board to do? What would have been for you a declared victory?
As I asked that very first day, and almost every single Board of Supervisors meeting since then, take an emergency vote and open the county. Our message has been abundantly clear since literally day one.
Is that why you're called Open Shasta, maybe? I don't know. Kind of makes sense. And what has been the response from the board, obviously, since then?
The board has taken no motion, no vote, no action of any kind, which has been extremely disappointing, because at the very least, we could have a motion, a second, and put it on the agenda. So at least we can have a full conversation by the board as to why or why they should not take an emergency vote and open the county. But that has not even been done. So it's been a very difficult past few months.
We're going to go ahead and head off to a break. If you have a question for the ladies, it's 530-605-4567, 530-605-67.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and it accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park is back open for exploration. See the West Coast Biennial Art Exhibition featuring diverse pieces by artists up and down the West Coast. Enjoy the Visible River Aquarium, Caverns Exhibits, Parrot Playhouse, and more. There's something for everyone to discover at Turtle Bay.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Albee from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Turtle Bay Annual Auction is going virtual. Now everyone can take part in bidding on exciting items and supporting Turtle Bay. Bidding begins March 11th. Tune in for the live virtual watch party March 20th on Facebook Live or YouTube. Go to turtlebay.org and click the online auction banner to register and learn more.
Is that John Lennon? Huh? Sally Darlin, always good with music. It's Rally Sally doing the music for this program. Anyway, we are here with the three ladies from 304. Melody's not here. Melody Fowler, who's definitely someone who's engaged in this Open Shasta group. And a wonderful lady. Her and her husband just moved, and she's exhausted, but called this morning, and she is listening in. And if you're out there, Mel, and you want to call in and you have a comment or anything like that, please do. Okay, so with this, we're going to go back to the ladies. And Alyssa, what say you, my dear?
Well, I think I just want to point out that now we have, because of this lack of action by our County Board of Supervisors, we're coming up on almost a year, our state of emergency here locally was signed, I believe it was March 11th, or it's right around that date. So we're coming up on a year here real fast. And I just want to point out that our state of emergency here locally still has not been terminated by our County Board of Supervisors. And so, again, without any motion by them, without any movement from them, it's become a stalemate. And that then leads us to what are our ways of dealing with that stalemate? How do we break it? And so long and hard we've thought about this and prayed about it, and we believe the recall is the best way to break this stalemate. So a lot of people have asked, you know, what is a recall? It's just a way of removing someone elected, an elected official, from office before their term is completed. Now, some of these supervisors aren't up for reelection for 4 years.
Mm.
So this is important that we need to move as quickly as possible to get them removed from office. And then all that does is put them on a ballot for a special election. And then the people of Shasta County can decide if they get to continue to enjoy the support of their citizens or if we want someone else to represent us.
I think that's really an important point. It really is up to the people in your district. If you're happy with the job your guy or gal is doing, great. If you're not, then we need to get rid of them and get people in there that are going to do the will of the people. We have Melissa Magana on right here. And Melissa, welcome. And what's your role in all this?
So I always tried to think about what made me first start up and show up at the board meeting. And, you know, first and foremost, it's because I'm a mother and because I also was watching what was happening in China around in January. And I remember specifically I was following a gentleman that was in China and he had gotten stuck there because he was traveling and he was posting about the social credit score and he was posting about how they were just the lockdowns and the craziness and all of it. And I thought, man, if that comes over here, which it probably will, what are we going to do? And so I started paying attention closely to local politics. Like, I was on the national level, which I think a lot of us are. You know, in high school, you know, I graduated in 2001, and I was taught about the Constitution and, you know, U.S. history and everything, but I was never taught really how to access your power at the local level. And, you know, I've been busy raising my kids. I have four kids, and I own a business with my husband, and so time is really sacred to me. And so I've been living my life and building our business with our kids. So when things started happening with the shutdown, I started saying, okay, well, this is off. This is something's not right. And I looked to our local district, our local supervisors for guidance, for, you know, for answers. Like, what are we going to do? What is this?
Clarity.
Yes,
yeah.
Clarity. Like, what are we going to do when this starts coming over? And what, to our surprise, it was just throw money at it. That was it.
That surprised you.
That's all it was. Just and how much money can we spend?
And guess whose money it is.
Yes.
Exactly. And, you know, when people's tax, hard-earned tax-paying dollars, especially here in Shasta County, we have an amazing community here, and when their money is in jeopardy or in play and they don't know where it's going, yeah, they're going to get upset and they're going to get riled up. And I guess I'm just one of those people that believes in liberty and freedom to choose and decide where my money is going. So I think that power at the local level is just amazing. And that we're seeing that here, Shasta County.
And then finding out, on top of that, where our tax dollars are going.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this particular situation, it's not our local tax dollars that were the CARES funding, but the CARES funding in this county went by a ratio of 8-1 to county department programs over small businesses.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, so our CARES funding is a federal, right? And that's part of why if you go back and you watch these County Board of Supervisors meetings, the supervisors do have some discussion about this and they say, well, we got to play by the rules to get the CARES funding and you have no idea how much this is going to help our county.
I think Mary's exact phrase was, we were warned not to step out of line.
Right. And, but what I think they neglected to have the foresight of is that they then shackled us to following the state's mandates in perpetuity to receive
right.
funding. And not only that, but they now have shackled us to these county programs
yes.
in perpetuity without that funding. So how are those going to continue to be paid for in this county? Now it's taxpayer dollars.
Yes, ma'am.
So how do we resolve these issues?
Alyssa, you started out with 3 points that you were going to make, and we did cover betrayal of public trust. What are the other two?
Yeah, so there are I really like Assemblyman Kevin Kiley has 3 criteria for a recall, because really, legally, you don't have to have a reviewable reason to do a recall. Anyone can do a recall if they're a registered voter over 18 years of age. But I really liked his criteria. And the first is a betrayal of public trust. Mm-hmm. Our supervisors did not defend our county from state government overreach. In fact, they bowed to Governor Newsom, a known corrupt, lawless politician, for county funding. The second reason is a need for fundamental change. For too long, our Board of Supervisors has operated without critical oversight by the citizens, and this has put us financially in a bind. And then I do have a third reason here. The third reason is that this is a last resort. We cannot, as I mentioned earlier, some of these supervisors are not up for reelection until 2024. We can't wait. The likelihood of a second state of emergency between now and 2024 seems imminent. Our county must be prepared with supervisors that will actively protect our county from state overreach. And we want them to be proactive and innovative in their approach to do this by making our local government smaller and fulfilling its proper role.
You know, I think that some of the egregious things they've really done, they've been draconian. When Joe Comente, who is the chairman of the board, tells people that, and I've never heard of this in the 35 years I've been going to different meetings here in town, whether it be city council or board of supervisors, that during an agendized item, the public always could comment. And I know they turned that around, but Joe Comente came in with a draconian remark saying, well, you get your 3 minutes at the beginning. The challenge is they've lost the sight. I think a lot of public officials and a lot of elected officials have lost the sight that they serve the people. People don't serve them, number one. And the thing I want you to comment on, just the thing about the plexiglass and the chairs, and I want you to comment on that, ladies, because I think that's amazing, treating us like children, spending our taxpayer money to take out chairs. I mean, seriously? I'd like you to comment on some of those things that they've done that really just get the average guy or gal.
Do you want to take that, Kathy?
Yes and no. So, I mean, gosh, don't get me started. So,
oh, yeah, that's what we want to do. That's exactly what we want to do.
My husband works in construction, and so through the grapevine he hears from, you know, the construction crews that our jail is having a remodel, and it is costing somewhere in the neighborhood of $5.7 million. And then the new courthouse, I guess, I mean, our friends, our personal friends, are the roofers, and they've re-roofed it, done a temporary roof twice now because
Wow. There's
so much debacle going on with the construction of that. And the money, evidently, from what I understand, you don't even want to know how much money they're spending on
this. Isn't that free money?
Oh, sure. It just grows on trees.
It does, yeah. It's free money, right?
And that's sort of what's happened is, you know, this started with the virus. And then as you go to these county board meetings, it peels back and peels back and peels back. And you go, oh, my gosh, what has been happening while I wasn't watching?
Right.
While I wasn't paying attention. And I think that's been a big realization for all of us who came back in May but are still here in March is, what has our local county government got us into?
Yeah.
So how much did they spend in the boardroom itself to put up plexiglass and to remove seats
and to put in
all sorts of things to save us from the nasty, evil Wuhan virus?
So I actually had commented on Les Paul's post, and he messaged me back with the actual invoice that said $9,000 and some change.
So we can't sit next to our children when we're in the boardroom.
Right. And what's interesting, though, is we are still looking into who proposed that. We have an idea, but which supervisor. But it's funny because Mary Rickard and Leonard Modi still are not in public. So the barrier is there for protection from us, the people in the chambers, but they're still not there. So how, like, $9,000, was that worth it? Was that worth trying to get them there? Or was that just a false...
And when you're sitting in the boardroom And you are standing at the podium surrounded by plexiglass, and you're trying to address the supervisors. The reflection makes it so you can't see them. It's like the Wizard of Oz behind a curtain. We're here, you just can't see us, ha ha. That is not representing the people.
So not only do you have plexiglass that you cannot see through and is duplicitous, which we've pointed out so many times, because there's plexiglass also surrounding them, and the seats are removed within about a 15-foot radius of the podium, right? So we're already fulfilling all the safety measures. But then you look up at the screen where your supervisors, your CEO, et cetera, ought to be, and there's a black box because Leonard Modi has his camera turned off from wherever it is that he's attending these meetings. So what was the point? Why put up all these extra safety measures if they're still not going to be in attendance?
Power. See, that's the thing that, you see, when we look at what the Board of Supervisors is doing, everything they're doing is to let us know who rules the roost. And it's completely obvious. I mean, during the summer, smoke outside. I mean, you guys have your kids with you. I mean, that this one young gal had her baby in her arms. They're making a stand outside as they sit in an air-conditioned room. They are looking down from their comfortable chairs. Mary didn't even wear a mask for the most part.
No,
Leonard being Leonard, playing with whatever he plays with underneath the desk. I think it's his phone. We're hoping it's his phone. And, you know, as we watch all this go on, we're kind of scratching our heads going, you know, really these people are supposed to be working for us. But I think the thing that bothered me the most was that when everyone was standing out there and just watching, you know, these young families, these young women, these young men standing there, people missing work, which I want to get into too, and I want to hear your take on how we should be running these meetings. But in looking at that, and then people thanking the Board of Supervisors for their 3 minutes of liberty. You know, I think that we have to start reviewing that. I'm not saying be disrespectful, but I think what we have to do is start viewing this and coming at this from a different angle, and that is we really are the employers. And, ladies, I want to get your take on that. I'm going to go a little bit past the break here, Travis, because I want to give it about 5 minutes so we can go ahead and give the ladies a shot here.
And I just want to go back for a second to when you were talking about during the Zog fire when we were locked outside. And there's a meeting in particular, which you can go back and watch, during which normally public comment comes first, prayer, pledge, public comment. And they moved the COVID report in front of public comment. And we were all locked outside. It was very hot. The AQI, the air quality, was terrible. And
babies out there,
literally babies, elderly, man. Immunocompromised,
man.
And long story short, we finally get in there. We all make our speeches. We leave. I only received one response from a supervisor apologizing for what they did that day. There's just this lack of accountability because all of them should have come out and said, you know what? That was a mistake. And they didn't. And I find that that's very upsetting to me.
Or come outside with us.
Which they also did not do. Never have. They get to stay inside, air conditioned, you know, clean air while we were locked outside, which is, again, so interesting because there is, if you haven't been to 1450 Court Street, there is a whole hallway separate from the boardroom in which you can stand, in which there are speakers that you can hear the board meeting. You can look through the big windows and see it happening. And yet we were locked outside of that as well. So again, this lack of accountability and this lack of transparency is something that has come to light in the last few months.
And I think it's interesting as we continue through this whole process, how many people that live here, I didn't know Shasta County was so democratically leaned, so left-leaning, right? You know, we live here, we're a lot of farmers and business owners, small business owners, and everyone's just so surprised that our board members don't align more constitutionally. And like they were saying earlier, it's because we've fallen asleep.
Mm-hmm.
We've fallen asleep, and that can totally be applied to as Nash on the national level.
It is.
We have fallen asleep, and we're too nice. We're too polite. Speaking about your comment about going to the board and thanking them. Of course, we're cordial. I'm so, like, that is, like, a major thing with me. Respect for my elders or just people that I, you know, don't know and whatever. And authority. Yeah, exactly. And so, but now that we're seeing all of this show up, people are starting to get a little bit more rough around the edges. And, I mean, come on, that's, like, where our country was founded. I mean, that's where we need to go.
But at the same time, going to your board of supervisors and holding them accountable is not disrespectful.
Right.
Exactly. And there have been people that have spoken, you know, in a way that I'm not comfortable with, but
they still deserve to be there. They still have
absolutely
deserve their voice to be heard.
Right.
One of the most distressing things to me is that one of the supervisors who will come up for re-election in 2024 was, you can call it, re-elected in 2020 without being opposed. There was no candidate running against her. Now, that would be one thing if she was doing such a crackerjack job and everybody was perfectly happy. Oh, how could you do better than what we have? It isn't the case. They simply could not outspend her.
Now, before we go off to a break, you know, one young high school student told me, you know, the reason that they're doing this is because we let them. And I think that's the thing. I think your point, Melissa, about us being asleep, I think that's been the main thing. But, you know, we have to realize that if we're going to make the people who are to serve us, the word public servant here is a joke in this county. There is no public servant. We have to make sure that we hold them accountable. And, you know, again, I mean, by thanking them for the 3 minutes they're going to give you, and then the next thing out of the Board of Supervisors chairman is, oh, by the way, you only get 3 minutes. You no longer can speak on agendized items. Now, they changed that because they backpedaled on that one quick. First of all, it's against the California Constitution, but Jen and I will be talking about that next week. Anyway, with that, ladies, we're going to go off to a break. We'll be back here. If you have a question for these ladies, it's 605-4567, 605-4567, and time has come for 51. We need representation. That's what this is all about. Take back our government, local, state, fed. Oh, my.
Building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Zip on over to Drip, now open at 2766 Falls Ferry Road in Anderson, next to Anytime Fitness. Drip features healthy and delicious drinks and shakes. Drip offers energy teas packed with antioxidants, delicious full meal replacement shakes, coffee loaded with protein, power oats, energy drinks, and so much more. Drip is open Monday through Friday from 7 to 7 and weekends 8 to 4. Stop by today, 2766 Falls Ferry Road in Anderson. Zip on over to Drip.
Dancing here. Where are the margaritas?
They're across the table from us.
We are back, and we have Melody on the line. Melody, how are you, my dear? What say you?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry I didn't make it in there this morning. I'm surrounded by boxes, and I'm not really sure where my clothes or anything. Displaced a little bit, but I just wanted to call in and just, commend these ladies. I'm so glad to know them. They're so passionate, and I'm so happy to be a part of all of this. And speaking from an educator's perspective, I just wanted to comment on that piece that last June when we shut down, I remember telling my colleagues as we left for that March 13th, Friday the 13th, that this would be longer than 2 weeks. And then graduation rolled around, and we did the drive-up graduation. And my assistant superintendent had to come up to me and actually ask me to stop hugging kids as they receive their diplomas. And so it's just, I had a lot of anxiety going into the school year, as a lot of parents have and did. And it's been quite the roller coaster ride. I've seen firsthand what it does to students. Distance learning is a terrible model, and I teach eighth grade. I did have the opportunity when I was making copies to observe two aides working with a kindergarten class online, and it was absolutely insane. I can't even imagine teaching the younger children through a computer screen. The kids don't have the same support from home. Some parents, they don't want to opt into government dependency, and so they work. And so some kids are left at home unattended, and it's a terrible model, especially with the young ones, that this is something that they're exposed to, that this is a normal, and they're missing out on all that hands-on learning. And so even with the eighth grade, trying to motivate eighth graders to learn through a screen is almost impossible. I've seen their participation and engagement just tank when they go to distance learning. So I really hope it's behind us. I keep telling the board that this is not a good model. And I just want to encourage parents to get involved, attend board meetings. I did go to one board meeting in the beginning of the year to advocate for in-person instruction. And there were a few parents from another school in our district there, which was nice to see. But we need more parents attending board meetings and getting involved.
You touch on two really important things. The first is the detriment to our children, which is why all four of us moms are here. But the second that you point out is getting activated in this community, that nothing's going to change without us showing up and asking for change. Mm-hmm. And then there was a third point there. And now I've just lost it. I got distracted.
Well, you've gone to the board as an expert in your job, as a teacher that's been doing this for many, many years. You've shared with the board the problems that you see. And has the board ever responded to you, Melody?
They've responded. No, they haven't. But my administrators have responded to me for not enforcing mask wearing as stringently as they would like. That's the only response I've seen. I did make an appointment to speak to my superintendent, which I think went well, and I think we had an understanding. But I, as a teacher with kids masked up, I honestly, in my whole heart, believe that I am harming them if they cannot breathe through their nose and mouth. And so I'm not a stringent enforcer of mask wearing. Because I, in my heart, believe that I am causing them physical harm. And I've seen, I have a student right now that has a bacterial rash going up to her eye.
Oh, my gosh.
I had one student this year that was having trouble breathing, like hyperventilating. So I told him to go sit in this couch area with his mask off just so that he could get air.
And this is, and these are the things that you've gone to the board and you've talked to them about. And they haven't responded to us in any way, and it's in, certainly not by listening. Or responding, but they have gone so far as to go to the press and try to call out who we are. And Melissa, will you speak to that real quick?
Yeah, so first of all, I think with the recall, I'm going to start naming names because it is upsetting. Being slandered and being called something that you are not, and you know you are not, and your family and friends know you are not, is unacceptable by your board members. I have been called crazy by Mary Rickert for wanting to say one more line on my microphone and having her cut my mic. She's like, crazy. And I have it on video, and I've told her that. But more importantly, the narrative that Supervisor Leonard Modi is spreading right now, in a recent article by NPR, he said, quote, "This is an attempt by extremists who can't get their way to try a recall effort through character assassination. They only want what's best for themselves and not the whole community." So that is from Leonard Modi calling us extremists. And I want to ask Leonard Modi and I want to ask my community members, are mothers extremists? Are doctors extremists? Teachers, business owners, pastors, nurses? Because those are all the people that show up to the board meetings every Tuesday. Those are the people that are speaking to our board members and asking them to just simply listen to what we have to say and validate our emotions and our data. There's no validation. It's only you get 3 minutes and you don't even get to have any response.
And I'd like to point out that, in the First Amendment, it says that they must redress our grievances. A grievance is when you go to somebody and you say, hey, here's a problem, like you've done, Mel. You've gone in there and you've said, here is what I'm seeing firsthand as an educator. This is a problem. And there has been no redress, no response, no attempt to fix the problem. And that is why, as we stated earlier, this is a last resort for us in this county.
Well, I think that's just such a great point. I mean, again, the singling out of moms, of community, to me, it's amazing to think that someone like Leonard Modi is even in office. I'll just say it. I can't believe the disrespect he has for the very people he's supposed to serve. I can't believe his disdain. I can't believe it when he turns off his camera when we're watching him. I can't believe the remarks he makes. I can't believe that he won't answer a question and passes us over to Ruben Cruz, the county attorney, who, by the way, even though his salary is high, it's probably a good job for him. I don't know if he could make it in private practice. So the real deal is that as we stand against this, I want to get a little more, if you could give us a little more on specifics where you have seen where they basically have violated the trust and violated the rights of the people in the county as elected officials.
One, as you pointed out, Terry, just like the Constitution, we're not going to change government for light and transient reasons. The main reason for doing this is we have those three criteria that we pointed out earlier. But in the process of realizing that they were no longer serving the public, we have also realized things like what you just pointed out about Supervisor Modi, that he walks out of the room. I know when I walk in, mm-hmm. we have it on video multiple times. Mm-hmm. He walks out. He sees me coming. He walks out of the room. Mm-hmm. I only get 3 minutes. And then he'll come back when I'm done. Since we've gone virtual, he turns his camera off. Again, these aren't reasons for recall, but gosh darn, if they don't bulwark our reasons for doing it.
Well, you know, the thing is it or is it not? And there's a lot of violations of the Constitution of California, and I know Janet went into that a lot last week, and we'll continue to go into that more and more as we go on here.
Interestingly, the California Constitution, going beyond the federal Constitution, it gives you the right to educate, instruct your officials. Mm-hmm. It's not just to sit and talk at them. It's to instruct them. And teachers know you don't instruct on a one-way street. It has to be both directions. Mm-hmm. The students have to listen and follow along with you while you are instructing. Our supervisors do not know the meaning of instruct. They are ignoring. And, of course, ignore means they're ignorant. They are ignorant.
Did you want to say something,
Catherine? No. And, well, I'd as like a teacher, I mean, I was working out at Grant School and expressed my concerns about not being able to mask up or drape my face shield, and I was immediately fired. And so I was overwhelmingly hired and celebrated, you know, for the short time I was there. And so this mask issue, they have followed HHS's.
Yes.
And I have just taken this opportunity not to sue anybody, but I just want to educate. I want to educate Grant School Board. I want to educate the teachers and the employees there that, first of all, these children should have a choice whether to mask themselves up or not. And, I mean, let's even
the
go...
The parents should have a choice for them.
Right. And the educators should decide whether they want to be masked up or not. If they're afraid, wear a mask. But anyhow, I got fired by Grant School for not wearing a mask.
And the important thing here is choice. Mm-hmm. You know, this recall is not about choosing to wear a mask or not wearing a mask. This is about your freedom of choice the recall actually is separate from that entirely. That should be up to you. But what we want from our supervisors is for them to point that out.
Yes.
Right? Is for them to direct public health to say, you know, what is reasonable and what guidance should you be providing to our county? And again, we are not seeing a proactive board of supervisors holding our county health department accountable. We have not seen that in almost a year now.
Well, that's called informed consent, and that is what you must provide when you are telling somebody to put a medical device on their face. Or if you, I mean, you, my husband worked in insulation. You have to be fitted by a professional for an N95 mask or N95. And so that's my biggest beef with the county is, like Alyssa said, is public health. This is our off-ramp, is getting people in on the board that are going to represent the people. They're going to be constitutional, and then they're going to hold the public health accountable. They're going to provide informed consent. I want, when Karen Ramstrom and Donnell Ewart to go up there to the board, I want them to get hammered. I want hard questions. I want data. I want statistics. I don't want just going along with what the state says, because that's what we're doing.
Yeah. And
we've been shut down.
Yep.
We're not holding anybody accountable, and that's what we're doing right now. We have a fire in our belly, and there's a lot of people involved that are stepping up, walking beside us, supporting us as well, and we are going to do this. This is exciting.
And this idea that from the beginning, what's good for the state isn't necessarily good for Shasta County. And again, that is where our beef really lies with the Board of Supervisors is, you knew in the beginning that we were not LA and we weren't San Francisco, and yet you agreed to follow the state mandates and not step out of line, which you have said multiple times from the dais, to receive funding. And so then, therefore, you didn't hold our public health department accountable in the ways that you should have. You didn't ask the hard questions that your citizens were bringing to you, presenting on a platter to you, saying, please, we're begging you, ask right. Dr. Ramstrom and Donnell Ewart these questions, and they didn't do it.
Right. Yeah, and they were always very abrasive and not never coming back with any
grace
or yeah. And so, I mean, I find it interesting. I mean, it just makes my mind, like, I lose my mind on the fact that for some reason the government is supposed to take care of our health, and they are trashing our freedoms. That is our job to protect our health. It is between us and our health care provider.
Yeah, there's nothing in the Constitution or anything that says that the people that you elect or public officials have jurisdiction over your health.
Well,
and the
governor has been a train wreck, and so we're following him. It just is. It just really drives home the point that we need new leadership.
Okay, I think you have been very convincing that this is not being done for transient reasons. So now, what can we expect? What are the people of Shasta County going to see in this recall effort? What's happening next?
Well, so step one is a notice of intent, and I won't bore you with all the details of a recall, but that'll be the first thing that happens. And to even take to present a notice of intent, you have to have signatures from citizens in the county. So that's already something that that the citizens of this county have signed up for and they agree on. So that will be the first step. And then this movement has really grown.
Mm-hmm.
We've got multiple groups in this county.
So
you've got Open Shasta Coalition, you've got Recall Shasta, you got the Red, White, and Blueprint, which has made quite the splash. If you guys haven't looked them up, go do that, the Red, White, and Blueprint. And we have all come alongside each other to achieve a singular goal of recalling our supervisors here in Shasta County to set
A template,
and to set a fresh precedent of what our expectations are as citizens in this county, what we expect from our supervisors. And we're going to clarify that.
Constitutionality.
I wanted to clarify and have Alyssa answer real quick why we shouldn't wait. Why we shouldn't wait to recall.
We can't afford to. The way our schools and our businesses have been on again, off again, jiggity jig, we can no longer afford to wait, especially in a county as hardworking as ours, where we really do, the people in this county really work for every dollar they make, and we can't afford for it to be spent irresponsibly.
You know, one thing we have to realize, a lot of people may say, why does Jefferson State of Mind have a program like this? And here's why. Everything we're doing here is duplicatable. The Red, White, and Blueprint is going to be duplicatable. I know that in talking with Tuolumne, with Mariposa, with Stanislaus, with Glenn County, even the Republican women in Glenn County, this is a duplicatable situation. We're all going through a lot of the same things with trying to take back our government, trying to bring back our liberty. It all starts locally. And what we're doing here, and these ladies are part of here, and thank you, ladies, what they're part of here is they are part of the team. There is no IM team. They're part of the team that is going to set a template and going to set a duplicatable position for all counties in the state of California to regain their liberty, starting locally first. We have about 2 minutes left, so ladies, bring us home.
I'm just going to say join us. I mean, this thing has so much momentum. This train has only started to roll. And it's going to get a good speed here. And I just want to invite every single person in this county to be part of the change. And it only happens with us. So join us for education. Join us. Get activated. And be the change you want to see. I know that's so cliche, but that is what we're talking about here in Shasta County. And we can absolutely do it. I've never been somewhere that I've been so proud to live. Where people genuinely care about their community and one another and want to hold ourselves accountable. I got distracted. But I just want to circle back. I'm so excited to see what this county can do, and we can do it together.
And it feels good to actually do something instead of sitting and complaining, which too many people do.
I really, really want to also say my 17-year-old daughter is inspired by me. Mm. So
you're showing her how.
Do this for your kids. This isn't just for us now, because this isn't the first virus. And if you think that it is, then you're being disillusioned. Do it for the kids.
Time has come for 51. Time has come for liberty. This is going to be something that's just at the beginning. Just at the beginning. And what we're going to do is have something duplicatable, a template. God bless you all. Go get them.
Thanks, Terry and Janet.
Time has come for 51.
Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.